Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you are welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me at 989-305-2721 or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. Chapter 4 of Amos has some strong, insultive language directed at Israel. It also has an extensive list of punishments which God had visited upon Israel. The problem is that these punishments didn't work. Israel refused to repent. Turn with me to Amos chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, "Bring that we may drink." The Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, behold, the days are coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks. And you shall go out through the breaches, each one straight ahead, and you shall be cast out into Harmon, declares the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress, to Gilgal and multiply your transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving of that which is leavened, and proclaim free will offerings. Publish them, for so you love to do, O people of Israel, declares the Lord God. I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. I would send rain on one city and send no rain on another city. One field would have rain, and the field in which it did not rain would wither. So two or three cities would wander to another city to drink water and would not be satisfied. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I struck you with blight and mildew. Your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locust devoured. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword and carried away your horses, and I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel. Because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Drought, famine, locusts, disease, war, death. Some people would read this list of punishments and conclude that God is a mean, angry, vindictive God. But that is pure laziness. Did God bring these things upon Israel? And the answer is, of course. He just told us that he did these things. But he also told us why he brought these things upon Israel. 5 times he tells us that these things happened to get Israel to return to him. Repentance is the word we use today. The problem is that Israel never did these things. Even after all of these punishments, after all of this discipline, they were still disobedient. They never returned to God. And so we have the conclusion of the chapter where God says, prepare to meet your God. Well, you don't want to hear that after God has just finished telling you that he sent all these punishments and yet they still refuse to repent. This is not a good day for Israel. God is furious with his people. And this should send the shiver down the spine of anyone who is in disobedience to God. Not an idol, a real God, the real God. The God who brought Israel out of captivity, that's one of the points that he makes here in Amos. Remember those 10 plagues visited upon Egypt? That God, the God who did that. But also, as he finishes the chapter, he says, the God who created the universe, the God who knows our every thought, the God of hosts, meaning the God in charge of all the angelic armies, that God, he has spoken. And he has the power to back up his word because he is God. He isn't mean. He is just. He has done everything he could to get Israel to return to him, and they refused. This isn't on God. This is on Israel, his chosen people. He gave them a choice, and they have rejected God. And because God holds his people to a standard, there's some punishment coming. There's more punishment coming. They've already been punished numerous times in numerous ways, and they've rejected all those punishments. And God says, prepare to meet your God. One thing is very true. God's people cannot just willy-nilly do whatever they want. Now, important for our study today is also to realize that Israel, in the midst of this chapter, God speaks of this, Israel was still worshiping God at this time. And we need to understand then that not all worship to God is acceptable to God. Notice that Israel was still offering sacrifices, still bringing in the tithes. Every 3 days they were bringing in tithes. They were offering fellowship offerings. Now, their worship was useless. Their worship was a waste of time because they were living in disobedience to God. They were living in rebellion to God. In fact, he says, bring in leavened offerings. You're not supposed to do that. They were worshiping God in any way that they wanted to. They were not worshiping God the way he told them to do. And so, while they lived in sin, they were worshiping God any way they pleased, and God was not pleased. And there's a word for this behavior, worshiping God and living any way you want. It's called hypocrisy. Israel was playing the hypocrite. Now, today, Christians are God's people, and as such, that means we Christians, we should be paying close attention to what happened to Israel. These events happened for our learning. Pay attention. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, the writer says this, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now, being a Christian, it's somewhat different from being a Jew or an Israelite in several ways. For starters, Christianity is not based on an earthly nation like Israel was. But instead, we Christians are citizens in heaven. Secondly, we are held to account more on an individual basis. You are responsible for you, for the most part. Last week, we looked at God holding nations and congregations responsible even to this day, which means that we Christians are also responsible for one another. But today's focus is more about individual responsibilities. What is your relationship with God like? How do you interact with God? The first thing we need to keep in mind is that just because we worship God, that doesn't make us right in God's eyes. Israel was doing this very thing. They were going to worship. They were offering sacrifices. They were bringing in tithes. They were having fellowship offerings. And God still said that they needed to return to him. They were going through the motions. They were doing the things that God commanded, but their heart was far from him. They were hypocrites. And we Christians, we do not want to be hypocrites. Another difference between Christianity and Israel is that Israel had been given a list of blessings and cursings by God. You can read about those back in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28. We Christians, however, were given all the blessings in Christ Jesus, all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Cursings? You'd be hard-pressed to find cursings in our New Testament. Even the text with which we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 2, which we just read, doesn't carry more information for us about cursings, leaving the certainty of what will happen to faithless Christians who abandon God to our imaginations. Let us continue, though, to look at the warning of disobedience, because our New Testament is filled with warnings about such things. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, where the writer writes this, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, 'I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, 'And God rested on the seventh day from all his works.' And again in this passage he said, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Now, I've heard many lessons and sermons of warnings to the non-Christians using these verses. But remember, the book of Hebrews was written to actual Christians, to real Christians, meaning this: the writer is warning us Christians about our obedience or disobedience. He is warning us Christians about how we behave, how we act, and we are going to be held accountable for such things. Verse 1, there's many warnings in this chapter. "Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." That's to Christians. Several times the writer quotes, "They shall not enter my rest." And then down in verse 11, he writes this, "Let us," speaking of Christians, "let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." See, Christianity isn't for the lazy, nor is Christianity for the hypocrite. And Christianity is not for the disobedient. Christianity is for those who know who God is and who love Jesus and love God and are willing to obey and do what God tells us to do. Many Christians, they're lied to by various doctrines which deny the simple truths of these scriptures. We are saved by the blood of Christ, but there's still things that we need to do. There's work that we Christians need to do. We're saved by grace and mercy, but there's still work for us Christians to do. Our sins are forgiven, but God still holds us accountable for certain things. There is work that we need to do. We worship according to the commands of Jesus and the apostles, but there's still work for us Christians to do. Obedience is called for by our Lord numerous times through the scriptures, and proper living, proper action by Christians is given to us in our many instructions and our doctrine. As the writer tells us here in the book of Hebrews that we just read, God knows our hearts, and this is a warning for us. The Word of God reveals our own hearts to ourselves. God is not fooled. The Word of God is living and active, the writer says, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now remember again, he's writing to Christians. This is a warning for us, not a warning for the non-Christians, a warning for those who believe in Jesus, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the hearts. See, the non-Christians, they're already in a lost condition. This is to Christians. Those that are already lost or are currently lost, that's not the problem for them. They need to get their thoughts and hearts changed to be with God. We Christians, we need to be concerned about walking away from God, just as Israel had done. This warning for us is to remind us, God knows our thoughts and our intentions of the heart. We can fool one another outwardly. We can live with each other. We can speak with one another, but we cannot fool God. We can come to worship, but if our hearts and our thoughts are given to something or someone else, God knows. And as he finishes this section, the writer tells us, all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We Christians have to give account, just as the non-Christians have to give an account. Christianity is not a free ride. Just because we're saved, just because our sins are forgiven, doesn't mean we do nothing. It doesn't mean we have to live lives of inaction. God has called us. He has created us for good works. That's from the book of Ephesians. Now, so that's the warning for us Christians. Pay attention. Check your hearts. What is your relationship like with God? Would he be pleased with how you're living? Would he be pleased with how you're worshiping? Would he be pleased with your heart and with your thoughts? What is the intention of your life? How are you living today? Are you living in obedience to God? Are you gritting your teeth while you do that? Do you go to worship and hate every minute of it? You need to check your hearts, Christians, because God knows them. He knows your thoughts and he knows your hearts. And that's the warning for us today. Remember Amos, they were still going to offer sacrifices. They were still offering tithes. They were still bringing in fellowship offerings, but their hearts were far from it. Now, for those who are not yet Christians, let me say this. Since we know that God holds Christians to account, what do you think happens to those who are not Christians? Those whose sins are not forgiven through the blood of Christ, to those who've not put on Christ in baptism, those without the forgiveness of sins, those without the promise of the Holy Spirit, those that are not Christians, they will still be held to account. Those without Christ, the scripture tells us, you have no covenant, you have no hope, you have no future. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me in verse 12. Listen to what Paul writes about what the Christians at Ephesus were like before they became Christians. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That is where non-Christians are. Those that are without Christ, that's where you're at. You have no covenant of promise, you have no hope, and you are without God. You're strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. But you can change that, and you can change that today. Repentance is called for by God. That means you need to stop living the way you are living and start living the way God would have you to live. Just like the Christians, you too need to examine your heart. You need to examine your thoughts, and you need to see if you are actually following God or not. And you need to make changes if you aren't. And believe me, if you're not a Christian, you're not following God. You need to become a Christian. But just as you are called to a repentant lifestyle, just as Israel was called to a repentant lifestyle, you are also required to be baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because that's where you begin your covenant walk with God. That is where you receive forgiveness of sins. That is where you enter into the covenant. That is where you receive that hope, that knowledge that you too can go to heaven. So let me encourage you, if you've never done so, to turn to Jesus today and to receive the saving grace, that mercy that he extends to all of humanity, because Jesus died on the cross for every single one of us. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, or help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me. My phone number is 989-305-2721. Or you can send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
My eyes are dry. My fear.
serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me.
I will serve you because I love you. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me.
Heartaches, broken pieces, ruined lives are why you died on Calvary. Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to
I am tired and I need thy strength and power to guide me over my darkest hour. Lord, just open my eyes that I may see.
Guide me, O Lord, won't you lead me? Guide me along the way. For if you leave me, I cannot stray.
Lord, just open my eyes that I may see.
Guide me, O Lord, won't you lead me?
I am lost if you take your hand from me. I am blind without thy light to see. Lord, just always let me thy servant be.
And guide me, O Lord, won't you lead me? Guide me along the way. For if you leave me, I will stray.
Lord, just open